This week's Parsha, our first of this man, life-changing shmooz, as we call it. This week's Parsha, we have a discussion that's going to hopefully enlighten us to the point of creation, and most importantly, our role in that creation. We start off with, we lived in a really messed up world today. It's messed up. It's messed up mostly because no one really knows what the right things are anymore. If you go to people, they are insistent that they are right in living this way. You're a whole 50% of other people in the world. They're insistent that they're right living this way. The other way is terrible. The hardest thing in life is to not know which side is correct. Again, we all have our own opinions, and we feel so strongly about it. But a number of matters, ranging the gamut of life, you know, gender descriptions. People feel so strongly in one direction. Other people feel strongly in the opposite direction. And of course, we think we're right. We think everyone else is crazy. That means like half the world's crazy then. Or you're crazy and they're all right, which makes half the world crazy also. We have election season coming up. Republicans, Democrats, each one is, the gap is getting so much greater. Everyone thinks the other one's crazy. And again, whatever position we have, we can't imagine how the other person could be so blind not to realize that. We see this in many areas in life. We live in a crazy world. But the truth is, it started well before recent years. It actually started in the beginning of creation. Craziness. The world did not create properly. I know it sounds like a heretical thing I'm about to say, but it's going to be in a minute from now. The world was not created how it was supposed to have been created. Every single day of creation messed up or changed from the original plan of creation. To give an example, we know the beginning of the Parsha, Bereishis Bara Elokim. The entire first paragraph of Sefer Bereishis always says the word Elokim until the beginning of the second paragraph. Second paragraph says in Bereishis, after we talk about Shabbos, Eila, the beginning of first pasuk in Shani, Eila Delo Shemayim Ba'aretz Bivaram B'Yom Asos Hashem Elokim Eretz Shemayim. We throw Hashem's name into the Elohim. And Rashi, in the first pasuk we have of the word Elohim, points out that Hashem wanted to create the world between us Hadin, but he couldn't, because we couldn't make it. Which means from the beginning of creation, it should have been Elohim the whole way through. Hashem has to change it to Hashem Elohim in parent base. He wasn't able to stand to what Hashem wanted. The creation didn't work properly. More than that, when talking about the Or, Hashem creates Or. Rashi points out that Or later on was taken from the world. It was hidden. It was reserved for, anyone know? Olam Haba for the Tzaddikim. Very good, Ricky. Call this Shidduch Shadow, by the way, because now your name's on the Wire Torah, so Shidduch Shadow for you, Ricky. Anyways, your Olam Haba, it's reserved for Tzaddikim. It was the Or that we had in the world was not worth being here for the Rishon that would live. Hashem took that Or and he buried it. Wasn't what Hashem intended. Creation, day one, I won't say fail, but not the way it was envisioned from the beginning. Day two, we create the waters, split of the waters. The Medrash says that Hashem says to the waters, half of you go up, half of you go down. And the waters all went up. None wanted to go down. Hashem had a force to go down. It says that Hashem made a firmament. What's the word in Hebrew? You know what the Torah calls it? Yehi, excellence. Very good. Hillel and Ethan. Hillel Glick. Ethan Olner. Very good. Make some lucky girl happy one day. Hopefully. Just Shem at the right time. Anyways, you have a split. Rekia, though, is from the same letters as the word Kriya. Hashem had a tear, said the Medrash. Tear the waters out of the heavens to bring them back to the earth because none of them wanted to go down to this world. It didn't function the way God had originally intended it to function. That's day two. Day three is a very well-known one. It's Hashem wanted to make an eighth free, Osef free, which means Hashem wanted to make a fruit-bearing tree where the bark tastes like the fruit. Eighth free, Osef free. Again, a fruit tree that bears fruits. What do you mean? Isn't it a fruit tree? No, because the eighth was also a tree. But in the end, what came out? An eighth Osef tree. The tree didn't taste like the bark. Only it had fruit. It didn't taste like, the eighth didn't taste like the tree anymore. With the exception, when it comes, Chazal tells us, of the actual, the eighth Hadas, That one still tasted like the bark, which is why Chava was excited to eat it. That was the one original potential creation, was that one. But the rest of the trees in the world sabotaged.
Wow.
Why'd they do it? I'm not getting into the whys right now. It's an excellent question. I have a shot, but not for now. I'll talk to you later on. Yudah, yeah.
Question? I thought Esrog was
supposed to be like that. Oh, so it's not Chol Kes. Some say the Esrog, the Gemara in Sukkah says the Esrog is pre-Eitz Hadar. It's the Eitz. It's the pre-Eitz that also is it tastes like the Eitz of Pre-Yushadra. The Gemara in Sukkah brings that down. Others say it means maybe it was the difference in the focus, what exactly the tree was. But some say he actually ate from the Esrog. It wasn't, no one says it was an apple. Some say it was a fig tree, right? Some say it was an Esrog tree. Some say it was a wheat. Different makhlokesa, but that's the reason why they say it was Esrog, for this reason, that the Eitz of Pre-Yo actually behaved that way in the end. So it didn't do its job, the trees. Fourth day of creation. Famous one also. We talked about it yesterday a little bit. Anyone know what happened? What changed there?
Yeah, the size of the moon.
Excellent. Ezra Siklik. The moon. Too late. It's already out there. Ezra Siklik. The moon changed its size. It's only two big luminaries, and it became one bigger one and one smaller one. So now we have a lower level now of the moon than it should have been potentially. It changed from creation what was intended originally. Fifth day of creation. It's a harder one. If you're pressing it, yet. No reason why you get it right now. I'm telling you, so I'll tell you. It discusses that Hashem created things in the water, including, it calls over here, Hashem created Taninim HaGdolim. Refer to these big serpents, water beasts, whatever you want to call it in the end. But in the end, what did Hashem do? What's that? He killed one of them. Excellent. So it wouldn't reproduce. Very good. Yeah? Shout out. Yudah's feedback, very good, excellent. So we have now, Hashem had two Taninim, two big Loch Ness monsters, we'll call them. And Hashem knew if they would reproduce, the world would be over. Some people say they were like dinosaurs, people say that's the source of dinosaurs, maybe. So Hashem had to destroy, he could be able to reproduce in order for it not to take over the world. The creation was changed on day 5. And day 6, when man was created, it also changed. Hashem created man and women together, separate where it was, and in the end, he separated them. Messed up. Every single day was messed up from its original intended creation. That's a bad, you think it's a bad job. Now, I would never call God doing a bad job of creating the world. But a layman looking at what happened, that every day didn't happen the way God originally intended, that sounds like it's a claim that the world was messed up from God. Which is a terrible thing to say, and I don't believe that to be the case, but it sounds that way at first glance. I'll say one more thing to you. Chazal tell us, the world was destroyed many times before this one was created. So there are many worlds that were created and destroyed. This one was the one that Hashem chose to keep? Who the other ones like? It must have been like terrible things changing in the creation of the world. Because every day was messed up over here, and Hashem said, okay, you know what? This is what I'm going to keep. What happened the other days, the other worlds? Kasha. Yeah, fair? Okay. Before I get to the answer to that question, the first Rashi in the Torah, one of the first Rashi in the Torah, is a very interesting discussion. It's assuming that the Torah is the word Hora'ah. The goal of the Torah would have been to give law. And yet, we have a whole history lesson starting right here from the beginning of creation of the world. So Rashi quotes from Rav Yitzchak, why does the world, the Torah start from here instead of starting from? You want to know where it start from? Good, excellent, Aaron Lubat. Chodesh Alechem, Rosh Chodeshim. It should have started and said, this Chodesh, right? This Chodesh is your Rosh Chodesh, Kitzur Chodesh. The first mitzvah we got as a Jewish people, to all the Jews as a people, was Rosh Chodesh. Why don't we start the Torah from there? Better place to start the Torah. The question that Rashi asks. What does Rashi answer? Famous answer. He says, because one day, as we're experiencing today, Hashem is going to take the land of Israel away from the people who live there, give it to us. And they're going to accuse us of being robbers. And the first pasuk of the Torah tells us, no, God created the world, and he decides who it goes to. He gave it to you for a period of time, and now he gives it to us. And we're allowed to keep it, we're allowed to have it. That's how Rashi said it, I'll read it to you inside. We only had children started from Chodesh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim, which is the mitzvah Rishon that we were given as a people. Why do we start with creation? Koach Maasa Vigilamo, you want to tell his nation the power of their actions. Laseis Lahem Nachlas Goyim, to give them the inheritance of their of the other nations. And then he goes on, if the nations of the world will say to Israel, Listim Atem, robbers, thieves, Shekavashim Artos, Shiva Goyim, he took the land of Canaan away from people who lived on it before him. We say back to them, what do you mean? The whole land of Shalakash Baruch Hu. Who bara, he created it. Nasalash Yasharba, he gave it to who he wanted to at the right time, and he gave it to us now, and it's ours. Good answer, fair? Fair answer for the first parak of Bereishis. How about the rest of it? Skip right ahead. We could save ourselves. Parshios. I don't need to know what happened with Cain and Hevel. What's the reason? Adam sinning? Who cares? Noach, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Shvatim. Fast forward to Parshas Bo. Chodesh Lachem. What is the rest of it for? Rashi doesn't address that. Fair question? Two questions that right now we have. Question number one is this world seems to be off every day of creation. And not only that, but Hashem felt, oh, this is the one I want to keep. Seems strange. It was supposed to look terrible. The other ones look really bad. And number two is the first Rashi, which explains that this Torah was written the way it is, the beginning part, so we can tell the nations of the world when the time comes. Hashem created and gave it to who he wanted to. Well, good. Bereishis is important for that, the actual creation. But beyond that, you can just skip ahead to the next mitzvah we have. HaKodesh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. I'll share with you an idea that part of it's mine, part of it I've seen elsewhere, and I'll quote it when it comes up. This part is from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes brings down that the key part of the pasuk that the Rashi quoted, we kind of glanced over. First part of the pasuk says, Koach Maasa V'Gidul Amo. Hashem wants you to see the entire story of all celebrations, to understand Koach Maasav, how important your actions are. The Koach of your behaviors is quite significant. When you learn about it, a Noach, you learn about an Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you see how a person can change everything else around. Sefer Bereishis is also called Sefer HaYashar, the Sefer of righteousness, of straightness. A person who behaves in a certain way impacts everyone else around him. You wouldn't realize the koach of an individual, what he can in fact accomplish. If you would have, at the end of the day, if you would have not had the story of watching how Avram became an Ivri, Ivri means that he went against every other nation, that he became on the other side. He fought everyone else. That's what an Ivri does. You wouldn't understand that Avram walked through a fiery furnace just to be able to show his belief in God. You wouldn't believe Yitzhak becoming a sacrifice willingly, voluntarily. Yaakov, what he went through, being tricked by Lavan and still staying true, and the Yosef and the brothers. We need to see the Koach Maas of the Gidla Amo. You have to understand just how valuable your behaviors are. Because it's so easy to look at myself in this world as being a small cog in a huge world, and what I do doesn't actually matter so much. We've all, I'm sure, at some point in time, look around and be like, really, does it matter if I put tefillin on today? Do I have to get up for davening today? Does God actually care? The answer is the entire state of Bereishis comes to show you Koach Maasav, Higid La'amo. Hashem chose to put stories of our forefathers so you can see when an individual changes himself, he changes the world around him. Anyone and everyone has an opportunity to do so. That's if you do well. But the opposite is true if you mess it up. I'll read you a line that's written in the Medrash. The Medrash breaks down, Medrash Rabbah, Bereishis. Zacha, if you merit your creation, you merit to be do a good job. Omer Mlo, they say about you, Atahidam to the Malachi Asharis. You preceded Malachim. Your creation preceded Malachim. Your neshama came before the Malachim were created. You were a chilek elokam mal. You were a piece from God on high. You precede Malachim if you behave well. But lo zacha, you don't behave well. Omer, they say about you, Zvuv Kadmech, a fly came before you. Yitushka demech. A mosquito came before you, more important than you. Because you were created in the 6th day of creation. And they were created in the 5th day of creation. They beat you. They come before you. One second. Which one is it? Well, depends. You're part body and you're part soul. Do you live your life like a body? Well, if you do, you're the last, lowest creation that's out there. The lowest. Lower than a mosquito. A mosquito was here before you were. He has more rights to be here than you do. A fly in the world. You kill that fly? What right do you have? He was here before you were. You live like a body. You like a soul. Then you beat everybody else to the world. You are a chelik of God. When he was creating the world, he created you also. But before he created you from him. The world is a balance. And depending on how you choose to live in your balance, defines whether it was worth it for you to beat the world. You beat the world's creation. It was all for your sake. Or you're the last thing. You're the afterthought of creation. It completely depends upon how you choose to live your life. The word Nasa Adam, we spoke about it the other day also. We mentioned that was a room for heresy, right? We said, I think Ezra quoted this before, and the Nasa means we have a chance now for people to believe that there's more than one God who created the world. More than one, I say, entity created the world. Nasa is plural. And we can quote a Rashi that says that what did he do? Hashem went to the angels and spoke to them and asked them for advice, sought out counsel for needless reasons to make them feel part of the world. But I saw it in a sefer written by a Breuer. He brings out, he says, Nasa Adam means not let us make man talking to the angels. He's talking to us. Let us make man. Because you decide whether you're going to be the man that I wanted to create or the animal that even the fly precedes. Hashem can't do it on his own. Hashem needs us to be part of the process. Because only when we do our job can man be properly created, where the purpose of the world was for man. So he turns to us and he says, Nasa Adam, I need your help. It's not Samanibus. I actually can't do it without you. Because what you bring to the world is flaw and then perfection. You bring to the world challenge and fixing it. As a matter of fact, the first mitzvah any person does, any boy does, is what he's done to him, is the bris milah. And the Sefer HaChinuch brings down and says, you know why bris milah is given to man? Why not, if you want a milah, just train us with circumcised body parts already. Why are you making me cut it? Because we're trying to show a person that you're created with flaw, and your job is to correct it. That's your job. The creation of the world was supposed to mess up. Because it demonstrates flaw, which makes when you perfect that flaw that much better. Hashem did not want to create a perfect world. What would be the point of creating perfection? God already is perfect. We wanted to create a world that there are struggles and flaws. Because when you fix that flaw, then you become a partner in God's creation. And God says to you, Nasa Adam, help me make you better. He wanted flaw. And we're allowed to sin. Not allowed to. We're not allowed to sin. But we're supposed to be sinning in life. That's why we have these two parts to us. But the question is, in the end of the day, where are you heading? Are you investing in your body? Or are you investing in your soul? If I were to ask you, you know, how much time do you focus on bodily things? When you're davening, are you thinking bodily things or soul things? Maybe when we're down, we think about, like, you know, food, think about our job, think about physicality. We don't think when we're at work about God. We're putting our stock in our physical self. Well, if that's what we are, then Hashem will say to us one day, the fly deserved to be here more than you did. The mosquito had a spot here before you did. But the moment that we say to God, no, I'm in the other side. I'm a neshama. I'm here to protect my body. That's my goal. Well, at that point in time, different attitude. And then we're able to be worth being created. We filled our job of Nasa Adam. We partnered with God to make man. And we even have it ingrained in us to be able to do this. It's part of us, whether you know it or not. I'll give an example. Again, if you read Rashi carefully, you should ask this question yourself. It says that the plant life, Hashem created it, but it didn't rise above ground until man was created. Why? You don't know why it didn't rise above ground until man was created? Don't remember? See Rashi? Nope. Okay. We'll get to it next time. It says that Hashem wanted to show mankind the need for rain. So Hashem waited until man was here. Man would see it's not growing yet. I'll read the word inside for you. If I can find it quickly. I don't know if I can find this quick enough to be able to tell it to you right now, so I'll skip over. But if you look in the Bet Hey, that's where it's found. It's Bet Hey, Shkoyach Ricky Sassen. Thank you, yes. Terebi of Art, before it was in the ground. Says Rashi the following, thank you. He says, when the world was created the sixth day, before man was created, and the grass had not yet grown, so Hashem says, I'm waiting. I'm not going to let it rain yet. My time Elohim tier. Why not? He showed Adam Ayin. The man wasn't there yet to work the land. And he wouldn't recognize. They didn't mock your bits of muscle to himself. He wouldn't recognize how important and valuable rain would be. Now, here's very important. Ukshabo Adam, the Yedashem, the Tzorech. When man comes and sees, we need rain, he's going to doubt for them. And they're going to come and then things are going to grow. Let me ask you a question. How would man put that together? How would man know the first time to daven even for rain? How would he realize that? Because we have an neshama that's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu deep, deep inside of us. And it's able to intuit things whether we realize them or not. You ever hear before the idea that the Avos kept the Torah before it was given? How could that happen? They give it a secret copy of the Torah? No, it's a secret copy. They have like you know, we have like people have spiders, not people, Spider-Man has spider sense. Oh, exactly. There are things in the world you can tap into. The Avos were so in tune with their neshama that they intuited, you know what, this something feels wrong with my outfit. I think if I put some strings on the corners over here, it's going to be different. And they would do it. They were sensitive. Why? Because they had a neshama they were so in touch with that they were able to intuit law. That is how God created us in the world, with a balance between body and soul. But unfortunately, most of us spend most of our lives focused on the body. So focused on the body, where even our soul behaviors, we're distracted by bodily things. Basically, matters today. Do we think about bodily things, physicality, sport, whatever, watching something on or learning Torah? Probably. Are we sneaking a safer in our workplace, trying to sneak a few? I'm not saying you should, maybe Xalets, if you're on your time, it's their time. But are we thinking about, I wish I could sneak a safer right now to learn while I'm working? Probably not. Because mankind, unfortunately, we live in a crazy world that the neshama part has been a lost art for many people. Even us who grew up religiously, it's lost. We've lost our balance. We've lost our way. It's okay. The world was created with a loss of balance also. That's how it was created. Which gives you the opportunity of a lifetime. Nasa Adam. Let us make man, says God. To us, to each of every one of us. Let us make man right now. Let's figure it out. All the flaws we might have, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that, doesn't matter. That just means you have opportunity to work on it. That's all it means. A flaw, you should say, I'm so lucky I have flaws. It means I can work on something right now. I'll end with this last point. When Shmuel was born, his mother Chana davened very hard for him to be born. And the Gemara Brachos brings down that when he was brought to Eli, he passed in the halacha about who can shecht an animal for a korban in front of the rest of the gedolim that were there. And they said, you know what? He's right, but he's chayav misa. He's breaking down hierarchies of how people should be treating each other. There's rebbeim, he's a kid still. He shouldn't be given psak halacha, he should be killed. And Chana said, what are you talking about? This is my son, I died for him. So Eli the Kohen says, you know what? I'll daven for you to get a better kid than this one. I'll give you a more talented kid than that one. It's okay. She says the famous, famous words. She says, El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti. I don't want a better one. I daven for that one. I want that one. Each and every one of you is that one. You are the one that your parents daven for. You're the one that was supposed to be created for you and for your families right here, right now. You need to make sure you do your job. Hashem is saying to you this week's parsha, Na'aseh, not to the angels, to you. Let us, me and you together, make you. Let us make you better. Let's make you right. No one will ever say about you, the fly and the mosquito should have been there before you were. You don't belong here. They belong here more than you do. But rather, if you are doing the right thing, you say to the malachim, this creation over there that we made, me and him, that one together, me and him together, it's above you. It does more than you do. It's a big task at hand. But the world set us in motion by having creation after creation be flawed. Because now we have the opportunity to correct those flaws, which is really the purpose of creation. Nasa Adam, let us make man, let us make ourselves. Have a great Shabbos. Have a great rest of your day.